You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
What have we got in the international corner today?
Going internationally, we're heading over to Central America, and Mexico's having an election, going to the polls on July the 1st. This is important because this is the first election Mexico's had since Donald Trump called the entire nation of Mexico rapists, murderers, and drug dealers. So they're naturally not very happy about Trump, and they're showing that in the polls. So yeah, let's hear all about that.
When Mexico sends its people, they're not sending their best. They're sending people that have lots of problems, and they're bringing those problems with us. They're bringing drugs, they're bringing crime, they're rapists, and some, I assume, are good people.
We all remember Donald Trump's comments at his presidential candidacy announcement in 2015 that set the tone for his stance on the immigrants from America's southern neighbor. His promise to 10-meter-high concrete wall at the Mexican border has increased immigration raids in largely Latino areas in American cities and has galvanized the Republican Party and their supporters, in part through a fear that Mexicans are coming to the U.S. to take jobs and commit crimes. Many around the world have consistently responded with shock and outrage at these slights against one of America's closest allies. But no group have been more outraged than the Mexican people themselves. And that outrage is being expressed as 88 million registered Mexican voters prepare to go to the polls on July the 1st. So why is the upcoming Mexican election so significant? Admittedly, Mexico has faced some significant political roadblocks in recent years that have tarnished the country's global reputation. Corruption within political institutions is rampant. Drug cartels pose a major security risk to the northern states. Violence between the government and the Zapatistas is ongoing in the southern Chiapas province, and the Mexico-Guatemala border has become a haven for drug smugglers, illegal gun runners, and human traffickers transporting children to the United States border. On top of this, the country suffers rampant wealth inequality and racial discrimination issues, which are particularly directed towards the indigenous people and the Afro-Mexican minority. But Mexico is also a key member of NAFTA, a key oil producer and importer with the US, and ranked the 15th largest economy in the world, just behind Australia and Spain. They're an OECD member and are projected to be the 5th or 7th largest economy on Earth by 2050 if their current GDP growth of 3.3% per annum stays on track. They hold major political power in the Central American region and have shown through their foreign policy that they respect international law, human rights obligations, and take a non-interventionist stance to overseas affairs. In short, Mexico are an emerging power, and their internal political decisions will have consequences for North America as a whole. On top of all this, however, is one major factor that makes this election stand out. This is Mexico's first election since Donald Trump entered the White House on a wave of anti-Mexican sentiment, and this, in part, is paving the way for a serious political upset. For reference, I need to explain how Mexican elections work, because they differ quite significantly to New Zealand. Elections occur every 6 years, and presidents are barred from seeking re-election after their first term. All candidates run alone with no vice presidents in a multi-party race, and the winner is chosen based on the popular vote. However, although it's a multi-party system, only two parties have ever held power, and the largest one, the leftist Institutional Revolutionary Party, or PRI for short, held power uninterrupted for 71 years through the 20th century. They did this via tampered elections, intimidation of voters and candidates, and widespread political corruption. True democracy came in the 1990s, but the new neoliberal PRI currently hold power under a historically unpopular president, Enrique Peña Nieto, who has been widely panned for not standing up for Mexico against Trump. But this looks likely to change, and all because of the left-wing populist candidate Andrés Manuel López Obrador and his party, the National Regeneration Movement, or Morena. Here he is speaking in Los Angeles.
My countrymen and women, I must confess that I am optimistic. I think the wall and the demagoguery of patriotism are no match for the dignity and humanity of the American people. I'm sure that strong arguments and the strength of public opinion will make those who are like Donald Trump and like to use threats and force will see sense.
Terminará por hacer entrar en razón a quienes, como Donald Trump, optan por el uso de la amenaza y de la fuerza.
López Obrador, mostly known to Mexicans by his initials, AMLO, is best described as Mexico's answer to Bernie Sanders or Jeremy Corbyn. He is a firebrand outsider who is challenging the ruling PRI party on their record of widespread corruption, broken promises to the poorest Mexicans, and a soft approach to Trump's increasingly anti-Mexican stance. His opponents in the PRI party and the right-wing PAN party are attacking him by warning Mexicans that he will turn Mexico into another Venezuela. But AMLO is the clear frontrunner, with opinion polls consistently showing his party sitting at 46%, whilst the incumbent PRI party, led by José Antonio Meade, is projected to only attain 18% of the vote. AMLO's popularity also comes from a strong track record amongst voters too. He's a seasoned politician and long-standing indigenous rights activist who gained media attention in the 90s for defending indigenous communities affected by mining and oil drilling contracts. As mayor of Mexico City, he helped lift thousands out of poverty through financial welfare programs for single mothers, the disabled, and senior citizens. He also worked to restore Mexico City's heritage buildings from the 16th and 17th century and managed to partially curb the notorious pollution through public transport initiatives. He's also been free from the scandals and poor PR plaguing his opponents, such as the scandal around right-wing PAN candidate Ricardo Anaya, who is seen as an out-of-touch, big-spending businessman by the electorate. But his main weapon this election has been his popularity with the young, interconnected, educated voters who are visiting the polls for the first time.
We've demonstrated that we're not an apathetic generation, and for years we haven't been heard. We want to, as we say in our slogan, replace a political class that doesn't represent us.
These positions have gotten AMLO international recognition. Fellow left-wing populists Jeremy Corbyn and Jean-Luc Mélenchon from France have both shown him support, and the UN has pledged to fight government corruption alongside him should he win. But overall, AMLO represents a shift in Mexico's political journey if he is victorious. When the country liberalized its economy in the 1990s and saw enormous overseas investment, many Mexicans never saw the nation's newfound wealth, and politicians like AMLO seek to tackle uncomfortable truths, such as why 20 million Mexican children live below the poverty line in a country as wealthy as Australia and Spain. Mexico is shaking off an unfortunate reputation as a poverty-ridden, corrupt, one-party state, and is growing to become a big player on the world stage, economically and politically. The stereotype unfortunately perpetuated in American TV, news, and film of the poor, desperate Mexican illegal immigrant is becoming a thing of the past. Mexico is modernizing fast, and nowadays America is seeing an unprecedented trend as more Mexicans leave the US than arrive. Much like Taiwan, South Korea, and Japan in the 1980s, Mexico's economy is booming, but corruption and poverty have been holding them back for decades. And on July the 1st, Mexicans may vote in a man who will commit to solving these issues once and for all. That all said, it remains to see how Donald Trump and the Republican Party will respond to a socialist president on their southern border. For voters, the hope is that Donald Trump is held to account for the insults that he directs at Mexico and its 120 million people.
They are nicking our shit. They totally are.
The Wire.
So, Connor, is AMLO... is he going to take that out, do you think?
It's... my mic isn't... there we are. No, it's just so I can't hear myself. Can you hear me?
No, jump across to the yellow one, actually. We have...
Yes, there we are. All right. There we are. There's a microphone. answer your question, it's looking pretty likely. I mean, anything can happen. It depends on whether or not the other parties pull any dirty tricks. But yeah, 46%, he's captured the public imagination, you know, over there. People are fed up of Mexico rolling over to America, and now that Trump's in, they want some change. And they want to see the rewards of Mexico's newfound wealth. And a lot of people in Mexico aren't seeing that. And so yeah, if he gets in, Mexico is going to be a very different country by the time we're all big and grown up, you know, in the mid-21st century.
Yeah, it sounds like... I was surprised that they're actually that high in the... what was the rankings?
It was... They're number 15th in terms of GDP.
GDP, yeah. I was actually... because you're right, the stereotype is there and you're used to thinking that they'd be lower than that. So that's an interesting piece.
Oh, I mean, there's another example. I mean, like, of how developed they are. They've just got universal healthcare like 5 years ago. America doesn't even have that.
Exactly. Like, yeah. True that. All right. Yeah. Thanks, mate.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.